Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
Rise, shine, for the light is gone. Rise, shine, for the light is gone. Glory of the Lord is risen. Glory of the Lord is come. Glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Rise, shine, for the light is come. Rise, shine, for the light is come. Glory of the Lord is risen. Glory of the Lord is come. Glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
Lord Jesus, we just come before you again today, and we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together and to join as a fellowship, Father. To hear your words, to hear your message. Bring us understanding, Lord. Open our eyes, open our hearts, and let us receive it, Lord. And we just thank you so much, Lord. And we love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with joy. May injustice out of Jesus. As the people fill and pray on the mountain.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. See if I can get this open. A lot of good services today, good messages. South Carolina and Vermont. And last, but not least, I hope this is a good one. Evidently, Satan didn't want us to get on the air today, so we're recording it. It'll be up later. I welcome those that are here today and those that'll be listening. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit out of 1 Peter 2:9, and last week I spoke in Romans 12:1 about a living sacrifice, presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, and how that is giving of yourself daily to those that are without and those that are within. There was talk today about fear and situations and all kinds of stuff coming against people. And it reminded me years and years ago, still young in the Lord, I was studying, reading my Bible. Things had not been going too good for me. I didn't understand, you know, that Jesus said if they hate you, they hated me first. You know, they receive you, they receive me. I didn't understand all that. A lot of people were coming against me. Even had one preacher buy TV time every Sunday just so he could spend an hour lambasting me. Lord brought him down later. Another story. But I remember sitting there and I was reading and praying and reading, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, Richard, I said, yes, sir. How are you doing? I thought to myself, he cares. It's not like I didn't read that. I mean, you know. But, you know, to have the Lord ask you, how are you doing? Makes you feel pretty important. Which I did at the moment. And I said, well, Lord, I guess I'm doing okay under the circumstances. Then came the pen, you know, the one that busts the bubble. He said, what are you doing under there? Don't you know I've overcome the world? And it was like he left the room. That's all he had to say. And I'm sitting there, what do you mean, Lord? And finally, I came to that place where Jesus had actually said to the disciples, have no fear or something like that. I have overcome the world. And all of a sudden I realized, if I'm in Jesus, even if I am the lowest part of his foot, if I'm a, what would you call it? A callus on his heel, then I'm above the world. If Jesus has overcome the world and I be in Jesus, And I've overcome the world also. And I realized I did not have to go out and overcome the world myself. First of all, I couldn't do it. You cannot overcome the world no more than I can. But we don't have to, because Jesus already did it. He overcame the world. And when we're in Him, we can rest in what He has done. Now we talked, or I talked last week, about presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. Jesus did it for us. We need to go forth and do it for others, both in the fellowship and outside. And I'm going to show you why. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Now he spoke this, Peter did, to people a couple thousand years ago. But today, those of you who are called by the Lord, those of you who have been enlightened by His Word, have received Him, and received the Spirit of God, you too are a chosen generation today. And as a royal priesthood, you take the sins off of others and offer them to God. See, that's what a priest does. He offers sacrifice for sin. We offer Jesus. We first take ourselves and offer ourselves a living sacrifice, bring that sin to ourselves, and then offer it to the Father in Jesus Christ. And this is how we have victory. This is how we overcome. It is our job to be a holy nation. That's not a bunch of separate people. That's one people. One people. Is it not true that people of various nations have a loyalty to their own nation? That they will fight for their nation. They will defend their nation. And yet we as Christians seem not to have that. We need to stand together as one nation in God. Not a nation of this world, but a nation of the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual nation, until He brings it down in the physical. We are to show forth the praises of Him. How do you show forth the praises in Christ Jesus if you're running around and it's all about you and your feelings? If it's all about what you want to do, and what you don't want to do. I listened to Steve today talk about the joy he received in serving, washing dishes, cleaning bathrooms. I listened to Karen. See, They gave themselves to the task. They gave themselves to the Lord in that. And God blessed them with joy. If you're doing a job that you're asked to do by those that are in authority and you don't have the joy, then you missed something. You missed the fact that you're not serving yourself or that other person, you are serving Jesus Christ. And when you serve Jesus Christ, he gives you the joy. Now, if you don't like doing a task, you don't like doing it, you don't want to do it, then you don't want to serve God. You don't want to serve Jesus Christ. Whether it be in the ministry or out of the ministry. Whether you be working at Burger King or working as a groundskeeper in a ministry or church or maid or cook or whatever, if your heart is to serve God in that thing, he will give you the joy. And if the joy isn't there, the problem isn't with God, it's with you. You are the problem. And you need to get over you. So you can get into Christ. And then you can show forth his praises. And not only show forth his praises in the joy that he gives you in serving him, but then you're a vessel that he can use to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, the lame to walk. Then you're worthy, because your worthiness is in him and not in yourself. When you become that nation that can show forth his praises in the joy that he gives you in whatever task you are bid to do, then he can use you to do the greater things. If he can't trust you in a little thing, how can he trust you with a greater thing? I know when I first came to the ministry, I was listening to Steve today about some of the things he thought about happening when he became a minister. When I first came to the ministry, I had visions of preaching 500,000 people at a time, filling great stadiums, having a tent that made Oral Roberts, the world's largest tent, look like a pup tent. I had all kinds of dreams. Oh, how I thank God now they never came to pass. Because surely he would have said to me, I do not know you. I'd have been so prideful and so puffed up. I praise God for the ministry he's given me and the work he's given me to do. Sure, it's a lot easier than trying to preach to 500,000 people, that's for sure. Let alone pay the bills. But he called you out of the darkness that is in this world to live in his light. And you cannot live in the light of Christ as long as you covet the world and covet yourself. You cannot do it. That's all I got to say.
Oh,
soul out of darkness into His marvelous light, into His marvelous light. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, who has shown forth the praises of Him, who has called you out of darkness, out of darkness, oh, out of darkness, into His marvelous light, into His marvelous light.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Scotty has something to say.
Ooh.
Good morning.
Morning.
Do I get to say more than that? Is that all I get to say? Is good morning?
I don't know. Is that all you had?
No, I got a little bit more. All right, praise God.
Amen.
Great word, Brother Davey. I mean, look at yourself. Examine yourself. Where are you? Not physically, not geographically, but where are you? Are you in Christ? Do you want to be in Christ? Do you want to stay in the world in that darkness? All right, you don't have to do anything. That's easy. That's easy. But if you want to be in that marvelous light, if you want to be in Jesus Christ, if you want to be above the world, like Brother Davey said, there ain't nothing stopping you but you. So are you going to get out of your own way? Are you going to seek Him? It's my prayer that you do. I hope that you do. I would that everybody did, so that we could be that nation, that one nation of one mind in Christ, showing forth the praises of Him. I want to turn over Hebrews chapter 12, 13, chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That's the part I wanted to focus on. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Each of us has that person that has spoken to us the word of God, that gospel that has led us to Christ. If you look over at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, where it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now that person that led you to the Lord, that person that shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with you, that's your parent in the Lord. Amen? Well, there are people out there. Praise God. The reason why we know this is because verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now we know that that father and mother is your natural biological father and mother. So there's obviously a distinction here. I'm going to continue reading. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Wow. That sounds like something different than our nature, isn't it? There's a change there. Completely 180 degrees for me from where I was, because what I sought to do was serve myself. What I sought to do was skate by. You know, stay under the radar. You know, when there was something that pleased me and I could excel at it, I'd pop up above the radar so folks could look at me and say, hey, look at him. He's great. And then duck down under again and just kind of carry on. That's that eye service they're talking about in 6. That's pleasing men. That's pleasing yourself. But we are to do all things as unto Christ. As if Jesus Christ himself were standing here asking you to go clean that toilet. That's the way that toilet should be cleaned. That's the way them dishes should be done. That's the way, etc., etc. I think I left off on 7. Well, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. I just wanted to finish off that thought there. And before I go back to Hebrews 13, one of the things that comes to my mind, for me, having somebody tell me to do something, doesn't have to be anything in particular. There's a decision process that used to be a long one, and now, praise God, is much shorter. You know, should I do it? Should I do it this way? Well, he's saying to do it this other way. Well, I think that we can do it this way. Well, I think it would be better if this. See, that's all the stuff that we got to get rid of. Because if we respect those that have the rule over us, if we see those ministers of the Lord, our parents in the Lord, as having that Spirit of God, as being in Christ Jesus, and that being the place where we want to go, we're going to do what they say. Without question. You remember that movie Karate Kid? I know others have preached about this before, but to me, it's a great story. Because you got the kid, he wants to learn karate, and he finds, you know, the old guy down the road, he knows how to teach it. So he goes and he asks him, you know, teach me how to, you know, do karate. And he says, okay, go paint my fence. All right, so he goes and paints the fence. Oh, no, I want you to paint it this way and this way, this way and this way. Just keep doing that. All right, so he does it. Okay, hey, will you teach me karate? Go wash my car. You know, wax on, wax off, wax it. Do it like this. Ugh. And it goes down the line, and the kid gets frustrated. He wants to know karate. He doesn't want to know how to paint a fence. He doesn't want to know how to wash a car. He doesn't want to know how to mow the lawn. He came to the guy because he wanted to know karate. Now, the interesting thing was in the story, when it comes time to do karate and he's got some guy in front of him, or I forget exactly how it went down, but, you know, there's punches being thrown at him, and, you know, the older guy says, wash the fence, or paint the fence, you know, and he's like, psh, 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 and he's blocking all these punches, you know. Oh, now, you know, wax the car, you know, and he's got these motions down. And he has that memory. He had that training. And in order to get that training and that discipline, it took all that work. Despite his feelings and his thoughts and what he wanted, he completed the work. And he learned karate. I have a little bit of a background with athletics. I've been in the military. I've also had other jobs. And I'll tell you, each one of those things, if you desire to do them, you will receive training. And that training starts at the basics. And as you master the basics, then you learn the next level. And then as you master that, you move on. If you're faithful in little, you will be faithful in much. And that's what you are learning when you obey the men and women of the Lord. And it might be broken up like that. You might be painting a fence and not realizing that you're learning how to block blows in karate. An example, it was a military example. One day, all we did was jump on the ground. You know, the next day, all we did was do a push-up and crawl. And then we would do a push-up and crawl. And then the day after that, we did things like a squat thrust or something like that. You know, we'd jump up in the air, you know, and run. And it wasn't until a few weeks later that one of the drill instructors said, you know, jump on the ground, do a push-up, crawl, you know, squat thrust. And what we were learning was how to get underneath a barbed wire fence, protected and safe. And that type of information could save your life. Now, if you learn the things of God and you follow your instructions as given to you, and you do that which has been given to you to do as unto the Lord, seeking that joy from Him, then you will learn the ways of the Lord. You will find yourself in Christ Jesus. You will be above the world and a part of that body. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul. You guys catch that? For they watch for your souls. Ministers, priests, watching for the souls of those that they minister to. Seems like a pretty heavy responsibility. Seems like if you want to work your way to that position, that you need to be trustworthy, that you need to prove your faith, that you need to be strengthened in Jesus, so that you can do that job as unto the Lord. As they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. As you head out, it's my hope that you take these things to heart. Pray about them. Realize that it ain't about you. That Jesus doesn't need you. You need Jesus. Amen.
I'll lift you up.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
I just have one quick one. We've still got a few minutes. Being things. Romans 14. How do we do all these things? How do we bring all these things together? How do we put it together? If we're His and we're working for the Lord, for Jesus Christ, then we have to take whatever He puts before us. And that includes people with different ideas, people with different thoughts, people with different personalities that don't always mesh together. We usually find this at every conference time where certain people just don't mesh together. They kind of flow into a little pod and sit off to the side. 14:1, it says, Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful dispensations. Disputations, sorry, excuse me. Doubtful disputations. Do not judge them when they come in as to how they will do. I looked up the word this morning, disputations. And it means discernment, or to discern, to look at someone and judge. Too many times we look at those others, sometimes in the ministry, and those who want to come in. And we can predetermine in our minds. Unlike Jesus, whether they'll make it or not, whether they'll be worthy. None of us are worthy. Because if any of us were worthy, then we would not need grace and we would not need mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We would have righteousness. But none of us have our own righteousness. Not one. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So when we receive one of these, or we see certain things happening, let's not judge. Nobody appointed us a judge. We've all been appointed to give Jesus Christ to those around us, to share His message, to share His word, to share His love, to share His strength and His power, and to give out the grace and mercy that we don't deserve, that He gives us each and every day. Amen.
Hey.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for all the words today, Lord. We thank you for bringing it into our hearts. Bringing it into a place where we can hear it, Lord. So we can receive it, so we can walk in it. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for being with us, for loving us, for your grace, for your mercy, and for being with us each and every day, even when we're not looking for you. We thank you and we love you, Lord Jesus. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.